before I was born again, and long before I met Phyllis Walcott, I had Jerry curls. Long before when I had hair, I know. Maybe that's why I don't have it. I did. I had Jerry curls. It was a team thing. It was an image. Today they call it a swag. It was an image. All of the players had Jerry curls. Does everybody know what Jerry curls are? Google it. Watch Coming to America. When you see them lean up and you see the oil spots on the pillow, you'll know they had Jerry curls. Because you had to use what's called an activator. I found myself, Will, sitting in a beauty salon. Foots sitting in a beauty salon with curlers in my hair under a hairdryer. I said it was long before. And then that wasn't enough. You had to have activator. So I'm in the... You have to keep a towel on your shoulder because if it was real hot like it today, it would drip on your clothes. But something had to activate those curls. Well, something has to activate our faith. And I'm finding God is showing me where that's where we seem to be getting into trouble, because we don't understand what activates faith. And yes, the Bible is clear, but there are things that I'm reading now, folks, that I'm just seeing in a different light. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you're not a stuck-up dad. You're our Father, and we can come candidly before you, still in reverence, and just enjoy your presence. Just snuggling up on your lap and just enjoying your presence. Thank you, Father, for the spirit that you've allowed to be in this room today. There's much freedom here. So much freedom is in this room today. But Lord, the people came here not to be entertained. They came here because they want more of your truth, and we know that your word is all the only truth that there really is. So before I get ready to release the word that you've placed in me to share, as always, Lord, I covet two things. First of all, Father, regardless of the words that come out of my mouth, please let each person hear exactly what you need them to hear based on your purpose and plans for their lives as individuals, as members of the body at large, and in particular, members of this congregation. And Father, I'm only going to say those things that you tell me to say or do those things that you tell me to do, and I will not pull any punches so you won't have to pull me from your lineup. But we have an expectation, and you've never let us down. And that's when we leave here, we will be built up and edified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. And we're going to read verse 17 together. And the reason that's important is because to understand some of the things I'm going to share with you, you need to understand that you can do it because you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. If we were not a new creature, we couldn't do these things. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. I'm in the New King James Version. Let's read it together. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. All things have. That means already are new. So we have to stop saying I can't or I'll try. We're not the engine that says I think I can. We can. period. And we need to understand that. I've been sharing with you the past few weeks. I said, faith doesn't take you to a place and then drop you like a hot potato. Faith will take you all the way through to the end. I like to say all the way through to a new beginning. Because as long as there's breath in our body, there is no end to our faith works. We know that in Romans 10:17 it says that how does faith come? That's right, by hearing. And hearing what? Okay, but if one has heard the word and believed it and put themselves in an environment where they are consistently hearing the word, there should be some evidence. If you're consistently hearing the word, there should consistently be evidence that you're consistently hearing the word. And that consistent thing that should be present is faith. Because it comes by hearing. So, you know, when we think we're in faith, we have to ask ourselves, okay, am I retaining the word? Am I retaining? Or if every time something happens, I got to go to the Bible and find something. Because there's nothing in me that can be brought back up. Well, if there's nothing in me that can be brought back up, then I am not meditating on the word. I may be reading, but I'm not meditating, and there's a difference. There is a difference. That's why I'm getting better at reading books. I'm getting better. But the reason, it's not that I don't enjoy reading. I enjoy revelation. And so I read two or three sentences and I'm stuck. Could be for a year or more. Thinking, and then I wind up reading other things about those three, four sentences. You know, because I like to know. So if we need, are we retaining the word? Can we repeat it? When something happens, does a word come out of us? And most importantly, is there evidence that we're acting on the word that we've heard? Turn to James 2. I'm going to share this out of the Voice translation, verses 14 to 26. James 2. Starts out, brothers and sisters, it doesn't make any sense to say you have faith and act in a way that denies that faith. Mere talk never gets you very far, and a commitment to Jesus only in words will not save you. Remember, it says if you confess with your mouth and do what? Believe. So we're speaking and believing. We're saying something and we're doing something about what we said. It would be like seeing a brother or sister without any clothes out in the cold and begging for food and saying, "Shalom, friend. You should get inside where it's warm and eat something." Like you think? Yeah. But doing nothing about his needs, leaving him cold and alone on the street, what good would your words alone do? The same is true with faith. Without actions, faith is useless. By itself, it's as good as dead. I know what you're thinking. Okay, you have faith and I have actions. Now let's see your faith without works, and I'll show you a faith that works. Don't you realize that faith without works is useless? Like a glove without a hand or a hat without a head. Do you think that just believing there's one God is going to get you anywhere? The demons believe that too, and it terrifies them. The fact is, faith has to show itself through works performed in faith. If you don't recognize that, then you're an empty soul. Last Sunday, you know, I arrived here a little late because the car I normally drive wouldn't start. Should have started, but it didn't start. Reason it didn't start, the battery terminals were corroded. So the power from the battery, even though it was trying to get through, it couldn't because there was something in the way. And it killed the battery. And we had to replace the battery, and they had to do what they do to clean off the corrosion. Now, that didn't happen overnight. That accumulated over a period of time, and nobody checked it. Now, we take our cars in for their service. We take it back to the dealer. We don't go to local auto body. They go to the dealer because we figure that if something's wrong with that car, no one's going to know it better than the one who made it. Okay? And we need to think that way about us. No one's going to know us any better than the one who made us. So when something's wrong, we need to go back to the manufacturer and find out. So we took it to the dealer, and it should have been caught. And you know, they apologize because they check all those things every time you bring the car in. But they had our vehicle for almost 6 weeks. And nobody, they gave it back, and no one did their normal check on it. Why did I tell you that? Sometimes we allow corrosion. And we don't understand that it's corroded, and we don't understand where it comes from. And it blocks our faith. It prevents our faith from activating. And we become stuck and we become frustrated. And it's not because we haven't heard the word of faith. It's because we've allowed something to get in the way without realizing it. I choose to believe it's without realizing it. I know sometimes we do realize it because sometimes I realize it. I'm human. That's not an excuse. That's a fact. And it's not right when I do it, but I have to acknowledge that I can do that. Because if I don't acknowledge it, I'll never catch it or do anything about it. So we have to acknowledge that sometimes sometimes we put corrosion in the way for different reasons. You'll see what I'm talking about. And as I say often, I'm not going to show you any new scriptures. I'm going to show you the ones that we have, but see, sometimes instead of working our faith, how many of you watch Star Trek? Stop laughing at me. The original, not the Next Generation, not, you know, they're all right. Yeah, Captain Kirk, Mr. Spock. Kirk's personality was, if he believed it, we're going with it. We're going with it. I mean, that's... Scotty would say, Captain, she's falling apart. Then let her fall apart. We're going. He had all the faith in the world, and you know, but his faith was in his judgment and in what he knew that the Starship Enterprise could do. But his first officer, Mr. Spock, would say, Captain, I've examined this situation. Our chance of success is 6,853.2 to 1. And sometimes we do that. We'll look at a situation and we won't just say, God said, so we're just going with it. No, we won't fall apart. No, we won't go to pieces. God will get us through. We look at it and say, our chances, based on the research, they don't look good. And we start planting a seed that God can't. And we don't realize we're doing that. We're thinking we're being logical about this. And if you're too busy being logical, I can guarantee you, you're not in faith. How can I say that? You're in logic. Okay? If God says so, it has to be enough to activate our faith. All we have to know is God said so. That's it. You don't have to, you can write these down. You don't have to turn there. But Hebrews 10:38 tells us that the just shall live by faith. And when you study this passage, you'll find out that that statement was made five times, twice in the Old Testament and three times in the New Testament. The just shall live by faith. So God is letting us know we're supposed to live our lives totally by faith in Him. And we already talked about this. Faith comes by and hearing by the word of the Lord. That's right. And we don't put enough emphasis on hearing by the word of God. See, we will hear things and develop faith. I heard things about hypertension. It affected my faith. Fortunately for me, I realized it and corrected it. So when I heard things about blood clots, it did nothing to my faith. My faith took me through it, obliterated the blood clots. Doctors saying, we don't understand this. Usually they go in this direction, but for some reason, your clots got to this point and then went to the left and right in areas of your lungs that were not critical. And they couldn't understand it. I understood it. And I told them, Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations. But don't be dismayed. I've overcome the world. I've taken away its power to harm you. So I told them that was Jesus taking away its power to harm me. So he couldn't let them go straight through and do damage. They had to stop and go into areas where, yeah, I was uncomfortable, but that uncomfortableness made me do something to get rid of them. He didn't just let him take me out, because I understood and understand that Jesus took away their power to harm me. I understand that in this world, things are going to come. So when stuff comes, Jesus said it was going to come. He said the thief comes. He didn't say the thief might come. The Bible tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is what puts meat on the bones of what God has spoken to you. I mean, what we don't want to do, we don't want to do like a good cook. And my wife makes short ribs. I mean, you open the pot and all the bones are at the bottom because the meat is falling off the bones. So you just pick up the bone and just, you're just glad you're not in the restaurant. Okay. But we don't want situations to come and cause, you know, our faith to fall off. You know, we want faith to keep the meat, to keep the word within us, you know, and that the word is the word that God has spoken to us. In Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we have to realize that the only thing that pleases God is acts of faith based on his instructions to you. See, I was operating in faith once, not that it was the only time, but when God spoke to me, first thing I ever clearly remember him asking me to do was join a youth fellowship. And I clearly remember responding, no. But I said, but I understand you want me to serve. So I joined the hosts. I was using my faith that was good. Well, it didn't work, because I was outside of God's will. And I made it uncomfortable for my family because I was outside of God's will. He told me to do something, and I'm using my faith to disobey him. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way at all. I have proof from the word, and unfortunately, I have experience with that. In 2 Corinthians 4, I would like you to turn there. Just stay with me. Second Corinthians 4, verse 13. King James Version, reads, "We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." So when we are in faith, we're going to speak like we're in faith if our faith is activated. See, it's only when our faith is activated does what we say agree with it. If it's not activated, what we say is going to be something totally different. Totally, we'll be like Mr. Spock. We'll be looking at studies and circumstances and statistics, and we'll be going by how we feel or what we like. And we'll avoid things that take us out of our comfort zone. Remember we talked about comfort zone? It's a psychological place. It means a comfort zone is a place that you create. A circumstance doesn't create a comfort zone. We look at something and say, I'm not comfortable with that. That's outside of my comfort zone because I don't like it or I don't want to do it. And we get spiritual. God knows how he made me. Yeah, that's why we read in Corinthians, we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Faith says you are comfortable in whatever situation you find yourself. That's what faith says. So if you want to be in your comfort zone, we need to learn how to activate our faith. Because faith will keep us comfortable. And then we know at the end of James 2, it says faith without works is dead. Only activated faith works. Removing action from faith, like the scripture said, is like removing breath from a body. All that's left is a corpse. A dead person. So the scriptures clearly let us know that there's an expectation that if one is in faith, works that demonstrate that faith should be present. We all know that's not always the case. There are far too many who say they have faith, but there are no works that agree with their statement. See, this series is designed to give us revelation as to what it takes to walk by faith. Now, practically, everybody in here knows how to turn on a television set. Some of us don't know how to do it without the remote, but that's okay. But probably most of us don't know exactly how that television set works. And most of us don't care. As long as it comes on when I want it to, I'm good. Well, faith doesn't work like that. We need to understand how faith works so that we make sure that it's always activated. We have to understand that faith has nothing to do with our physical strength and abilities and everything to do with our mental state of mind. In Galatians 5, verse 6, I'm going to share this in the King James, the Message, and then the Passion. For in Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Say, faith works by love. The Message Bible starts at verse 4. Says, I suspect we would never intend this, but this is what happens. When you attempt to live by your own religious plans and projects, you are cut off from Christ. You fall out of grace. Meanwhile, we expectantly wait for a satisfying relationship with the Spirit. For in Christ, neither our most conscientious religion nor disregard of religion amounts to anything. What matters is something far more interior. Faith expressed in love. that's far more interior, far more within, it's deeper within us. That's faith expressed in love. And the Passion Translation says, when you're placed into the Anointed One and joined to him, circumcision and religious obligations can benefit you nothing. All that matters now is living in the faith that is activated and brought to perfection by love. Love is what activates our faith. Love is what brings our faith into perfection. Love, not works. Works are a result of perfected faith. Period. But if we're not loving, then there's no activator for your Jerry curls. And everything just goes flat. It just goes flat. This morning, I was reading about 8:45 this morning. I was just reviewing notes. And this is what dropped into my spirit. Go please to 1 John. I was just reading through. Just dropped in. 1 John 4. Message Bible, it's 17 and 18. Reads, God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house. Becomes at home and mature in us so that we are free of worry on judgment day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ. There's no room in love for fear. There's no room in love for fear. That lets us know if we're in fear, we're not in love. And if we're in fear, that means we're not in faith. So we can also say then if we're not in faith, we're not in love. Because if we were in love, it would cast out fear. Because of our faith in the love that's been extended to us. I'm going to show you that. There's no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. So this tells us how faith works. It tells us how faith is shown, and it tells us how faith is expressed. It's by love. And when Pastor Joseph and I were talking, I said to him, I said, since faith works by love, whose love is it that causes faith to work? And that's the question, whose love is it? The love of God. It's his love that's extended to us. And it's our love giving that we're giving back to him. Romans 8 says, but think about this. This voice translation, Romans 5, excuse me, verse 8. Says, while we were wasting our lives in sin, God revealed his powerful love to us in a tangible display. The Anointed One died for us. So God revealed love to us in a way that we could grab hold of. And he did that when he made faith available to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Remember, Hebrews 12 tells us that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. So he's also the author and finisher of our love. All right? So now, if love is available, faith is available. It's that simple. And the ability to work our faith can never leave us, because God's love can never be taken away from us. Look at Romans 8. And I got to share this in the Passion Translation, 8:34. Says it with such passion. Romans 8. I want everybody to see this. See there? Who then is left to condemn us? Certainly not Jesus, the anointed one. For he gave his life for us, and even more than that, he has conquered death and is now risen, exalted and enthroned by God at his right hand. So how could he possibly condemn us since he is continually praying for our triumph? Who could ever separate us from the endless love of God's anointed one? Absolutely no one. For nothing in the universe has the power to diminish his love towards us. Nothing in the universe. Troubles, pressures, and problems are unable to come between us and heaven's love. What about persecutions, deprivations, dangers, and death threats? No, for they are all impotent to hinder omnipotent love. All those things are impotent to handle omnipotent love. I like that. Even though it is written, all day long we face death threats for your sake, God, we are considered to be nothing more than sheep to be slaughtered. Yet, even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all, for God has made us to be more than conquerors, and he has demonstrated love in our glorious victory over everything. So now I live with confidence, or you could say now I live with faith, that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. Nothing in the universe. I'm convinced that his love will triumph over death, life's troubles, fallen angels, or dark rulers in the heavens. There is nothing in our present circumstances that can weaken his love. There's no power above us or beneath us, no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. See, God demonstrated his love through works. Through works. Because he wants us to know that we demonstrate our love through works. Works of love. So he said what to us one day. He wrote to us, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what he said. If you love me, keep my commandments. This was very interesting. That's the only way we can show that we love God, is to do what he says. If we're not doing what God has called us to do, then we're not doing works of faith, and we're not demonstrating love for God. We're not. Because God said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you will do what I tell you to do. If we don't do what God tells us to do, we're not comfortable with the way he loves us. Because, and the reason I say that is if you're comfortable with someone's love and they tell you everything they're going to do for you, you know they mean it because they love you, and you could take that to the bank. And you'll go wherever they need you to go, and you won't give it a second thought because they love you. And ain't no way they're going to let anything happen to you, and they're going to do everything within their power to make sure you're successful. But if you say no, you say, I'm not sure you can do that. I'm not sure. And your faith is deactivated. And you don't realize it. You know, you're thinking, I need to work this out. Why? What's there to work out? Whatever happened to the God said it, that settles it. Whatever happened to that? We're trying to work it out, And while we're trying to work it out, our faith is dying. And we don't realize it. Then something comes up, and we say, oh, I got to act. This is a job for faith, man. And it's like dead battery. Click. Nothing happens. I've allowed corrosion to get in the way. So my faith can't activate the power necessary to get me through or to get me where God wants me to go. Because I'm not loving. And if I'm not loving, my faith can't work. Because it works how? By love. It works by love. Period. That's the problem, folks. If we can't trust and count on God's love, then maybe we're not really saved. If we're not really saved, maybe Jesus Christ isn't real either. Since he's the one that saved us, and I'm not sure I'm saved, so I must not be sure if he exists. How can I have faith in someone I'm not sure of? You have to be sure. I didn't ask Phyllis Walcott to marry me unless I was sure she was the one. I had to be sure. She had to be sure. You don't say, I'll take it. You don't look at the odds and say, well, there's a pretty good chance this is going to work. You have to be sure. Because, you know, yeah, it's easy when it's, you know, oh, I love you, kissy, kissy, huggy, huggy, and all that. Yeah, that's great. What about when the word no comes into the equation? Then what? I thought I loved her. Is that what you say? Or I think I loved him, or I never thought about that before. No, if we can't trust, remember in John 13:34, Jesus said a new commandment, love one another. And we don't do that. We don't love one another. What we're saying is, we don't trust this person with my heart, with my feelings, with my emotions. I can't trust this person, is what we're saying. God, Jesus said, love one another. And if he told us to do it, then it means we have the faith is available for us to love everyone. But if we don't love Jesus enough to trust him to do what he says, we won't love everyone because we won't believe that we can. And we'll start, and once we get to that point, folks, we start looking at what folks do. And we get that brain etcher and just write these things in our brain. And we say, no, they'll never have the opportunity to do that to me again. Well, but the word says, love takes no account of a suffered wrong. That's what the word says. That's what God said. The same God that said, if you love me, keep my commandments, had written, love doesn't keep an account. It said, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Love just keeps on loving. And if love keeps on loving, you will always find your faith activated. Because faith is activated by love. See, sometimes we need to realize that one of the things that could be blocking our faith is that we're in strife with somebody. Because in order to be in strife with someone means I don't love them. You say, oh no, I love them, then why are you in strife with them? Why? Well, you don't have the faith to say, listen, I apologize. But I didn't do anything. That's why it's by faith. The Bible says, as much as lies within you, live at peace with all men. As much as lies within us. What lies within us? The love of God.
There you
So if the love of God lies within us, the faith to love everybody is also in us. And we have to choose to let it out. We have to choose. Well, I don't know, Pastor Rick, the Bible says guard your heart. Yes, it does. How do you guard your heart? By faith. Faith says, I can love you and you won't damage my heart. Because I'll tell you something. There is no condition that can happen to you, that someone can do to you, that says you have to have negative emotions. One of the first things I learned from Pastor Clinton was I have the right to choose my own attitude about anything. So we have to stop allowing emotional choices to prevent us from doing what God has told us to do. All we need to do is just change our mind and make a different choice. Romans 12, 2. We're in the home stretch. Romans 12, 2, the Living Bible, says, don't just pretend that you love others. I didn't write that. Okay. Don't just pretend that you love others. Really love them. How do you really love someone? You do everything God tells you to do on their behalf. Period. We don't have to make this complicated. Whatever God tells you to do, you do it. Because you really love God and you really love them. So don't just pretend. Ephesians 3, part of the Ephesians prayer. Well, I'll start from 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Listen to this. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and, well, actually, there's a semicolon there, that ye be rooted and grounded in love. Why? Because if you're not rooted and grounded in love, Christ can't dwell in your heart by faith because your faith won't be active. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. So if I'm rooted and grounded in love, I'm rooted and grounded in faith. Because faith works by love. Demas left Paul. He left Paul. And the Bible tells us why he left Paul. Having loved this present world, he left and went to Thessalonica. And when you study out his life, most scholars believe that Demas went to work in one of, Aphrodite's temple? Because the high priests in those temples had gifts and everything lavished on them. I mean, I'm not going to tell you what altar workers had to do, but it was Aphrodite's temple, so you let your imagination run with you. Okay. See, Demas was probably thinking, you know what? I'm tired of being scourged. I'm tired of everywhere I go, people trying to kill me. People I'm trying to help are talking about me. They're plotting about us in the back rooms and things. And I have this offer to go as a high priest in one of Aphrodite's temple where everybody will love me. It's been fun, Paul. See ya. Good luck with the rest of your journey. I'm going after the things of this world. I don't believe this Christ stuff works anymore. He didn't love God. Paul did. Paul, can you imagine? Having faith that can move mountains and cure illnesses and cast out devils, he didn't use his faith to take care of himself. You know why? That was God's responsibility. That's why God said, my grace is sufficient. Your responsibility is to do what God tells you. His responsibility is to keep you while you're doing it. That's why I've said this before, and I'm going to keep saying it because it gives glory to God. And it started happening to me now on Wednesdays also. But every time I'm up before you, my blood pressure drops to the point where I don't have to take a dose of medicine. It just drops. And, you know, a little hard head, it's gotten softer. And I started realizing this isn't ministering the word that's really doing it. It's spending time in his presence. And it keeps my blood pressure. One Wednesday I was here and I'm like, why am I feeling like this? And after they took my blood pressure and I looked at the number, I was like, wow, thank you, Lord. So now before I minister, I don't take meds. I don't need to. which lets me know and lets all of us know that these attacks are more spiritual than they are physical. And we need to pay more attention to dealing with them in the spirit. I'm going to close with this thought from Revelation 2. I'm going to read it and give you a little thought on it. Revelation 2, verse 1, starting with verse 1. Write the following to the messenger of the congregation in Ephesus. For these are the words of the one who holds the seven stars firmly in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know all you've done for me. You have worked hard and persevered. I know that you don't tolerate evil. You have tested those who claim to be apostles and proved they are not, for they were imposters. I also know how you have bravely endured trials and persecutions because of my name, yet you have not become discouraged. I'm like, this is good stuff. It's like, yeah, I want to be just like that. But then he goes on. But I have this against you. You have abandoned the passionate love you had for me at the beginning. Now let's think about this. They were doing everything Jesus wanted them to do, and with gusto. And something had to happen because they stopped. And it doesn't tell us why they stopped, but it just says, you have abandoned the passionate love that you had for me at the beginning. So we need to be more sensitive to when our zeal to do things for God starts to wane. That's the time to stop and find out, wait a minute, Lord. Thoughts, I don't know where you, I know where you're coming from. You go right back because you're not a good and perfect gift and I'm staying true to what my Father has told me to do. Apparently they didn't do that and they abandoned the passionate love they had from Christ at the beginning, which means they had to have stopped doing works, acts of faith, because there was no love there to activate it. If you abandon love, you abandon faith. In order for faith to work, to be at work, love has to be present and at work. Love can't be in a bottle sitting on a shelf. It has to be at work. It says, think of how far you've fallen. Repent and do the works of love you did at first. It said, repent and go back to being obedient to the things I've told you to do. and your faith will come back. It'll be reactivated. See, Jesus was telling them this before they got to the point where their faith died. Because he said, do this or I'll come quickly and remove you from the candlestick. So if their faith dies, they ain't longer not saved. And they just get, no more. I want my candlestick to stay in place. How about you? First Corinthians 13. We're not reading the whole thing. I'm just going to read this one part. I'm going to read verse 13 out of the Passion Translation. It says, until then, these three things that remain, faith, hope, and love, yet love surpasses them all. So above all else, let love be the beautiful prize for which you run. Let love be. Why? Because when you got love, you have faith. You have faith. The footnote reads, perfect love diminishes the importance of prophecy in tongues. Paul is saying that they will cease being important when compared with perfect love. That which is perfect is love and is greater than the gifts. Perfect love puts everything else in second place because God is love. You need to let your love for God put everything else in second place. Nothing is more important. Nobody is more important than the love you have for God, because that's the kind of love that's going to activate your faith, and you'll produce the greater works that Jesus said we would do. I'm done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And this place is called Redeeming. And it's a place where the love of God is. So faith should be evident, and acts of faith should be evident. And that doesn't mean specifically in this building. It means wherever the members find themselves, faith should be at work. Faith should be at work. And you don't have to go over to the Philippines for that to see those types of miracles. It's the reason you see them when folks go on missionary trips is they're uninhibited. Because they ain't by themselves. Everybody else is there. Well, that's not the way God uses that. But that's not the main plan. The main plan is for you as an individual to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And let these signs follow your belief, your faith, your love of Christ that sends you out into all the world. And forget about this. Well, I'm shy, and God knows I don't like this people. And you know, I'm one of those background prayers. I haven't found that anywhere. I haven't found it. Have you found it? God said, no, you don't have to go into all the world. You stay in the background and pray for those going into all the world. No, if you're not doing it, you're not demonstrating love for God. And if you're not demonstrating love for God, you're not activating your faith. And if your faith isn't activated, then you're not living by faith. You're not walking by faith. You're walking by sight. And it's impossible for you to please God. Impossible. Do we really want to live our lives in a state where it's impossible to please God? I don't. And I don't think you do either. So we have to get to the place where we stop allowing emotional baggage to stop us from loving the way God told us to love, so that our faith can work the way God designed for it to work, and we can accomplish everything that God said we will accomplish. Amen? Amen. Matter of fact, if you had emotional issues that have caused you to be with some people, why don't you stand where you are? I'm going